joined in the booth now by Lucy, Sol and Mia of Seek Help. How are you guys all doing today?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. There's a consensus there. Wow, you all said the same thing at the same time. That's kind of crazy.
One hive mind of pretty good.
yeah. That's what I like. It'd be better than a like hive mind of, you know, just okay, just okay.
I don't want to be here.
There's a lot of problems to talk about.
Now, your EP release show, is this Saturday at Yours. You've got support from Girl Don't Know, Hysteria, Def Raccoon, and Vagina Dry. We just heard a little bit of Def Raccoon on the program earlier, and a little bit of Vagina Dry on the Top 11 Countdown. It's all ages. Let's just jump into chatting about the EP itself. How long have you guys been working on this release?
Oh, probably like a few months now. We would have gotten the recording done like way earlier this year. Actually, one of them was probably even recorded last year.
Yeah, I think so.
And then it had a lot of changes done to it, and we came back and re-recorded a whole bunch, and it was recorded at the same time as Apex Predator, so it took some makeover.
And who were you doing this one with? Was it Sam Charlesworth who was mixing? Or
recorded at Te Koto Koto for most of this.
Yeah.
And mixed with Sam. Yeah.
Sweet. Beautiful. Now, it's called Misrepresentation. It's a little clever play on words there. What does that title mean to you? Where did it kind of spawn from?
We found, like, an article that was like sort of I think from like 2017 about female musicians in New Zealand, and it was titled Misrepresentation, and we kind of thought that was quite fitting just with like the genre of music that we kind of do and like what we talk about.
Is very much talking about almost like the lack thereof female musicians in the scene at the time and kind of how badly they were treated. Mm. And I think we found a lot more comfort in the Otepote scene right now. It's kind of become a lot more of an inclusive space. So it was kind of like a nice homage to that past and how things have maybe gotten better but can still change.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, you guys take inspiration from feminist punk bands of decades past. Back then, you know, it was fighting for rights that didn't yet exist and not been achieved, respect that had not been given or earned. Well, no, not the, yeah, the other way around. You guys get what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you see the role of a feminist punk band now in the 2020s compared to back then?
I see it as really empowering, and it gives a lot of, like, inspiration to a lot of younger women, people who don't have as many rights as the higher up kind of people. Like, yeah, I just think it's really good. I don't know where I'm going with this.
No, I get what you mean, you know, that it's good. It's a thing that you have to keep pushing for. It doesn't just, you know, even if the rights are there, it can very easily go away if there aren't bands like y'all kind of pushing that forward.
There's always a kind of threat there, and I guess places like this provide a safe space for people to know that it is possible to have a voice and still push for what they think could be better for everyone.
Mm.
Yeah, and also just, like, standing up for other communities and groups of people, as well as, like, women in other countries who don't have the privileges that we have.
Yeah.
It's still very much an issue, and, like, also just societally, like,
there's still so much to talk about.
Yeah. It's a brand of feminism that isn't just white feminism.
Exactly.
Yeah. Totally.
I think Riot Girl isn't just about feminism. It's about, I don't know, inclusivity of everyone, pushing for everyone's rights. It's a lot further than just this, like, old traditionalized idea that kind of got watered down and filled up with white feminism.
Mm.
Definitely always trying to push for, like, a more inclusive space for everyone, and I think that is what spaces like this can provide, and bands like this can show people as possible, I hope.
Totally, I hope so too. Now, you started out as an all-ages band, making a name for yourselves around Otepote's all-ages venues and on lineups. Now you're all over 18, I believe, unless you're sneaking into venues. But and so how's that transition been? How's your sound kind of grown through that journey?
I think we started getting invited to a lot more hardcore gigs, which was funny. And I also feel like the main difference is just, like, the crowd and, like, audience that we see. So, like, at 18-plus shows, it'll be quite different depending on who's playing. Like, the audience will be quite different. But for all ages, you can kind of, like, expect the same people.
Mm.
I was kind of worried they wouldn't like us.
Yeah.
But they definitely seem to take us on pretty quickly, especially with all the hardcore stuff. Like, I didn't actually know we were even considered that hardcore until...
Yeah, you've been doing, like, hardcore house shows. Yeah. Like, achieve that level. Yeah, it's great. Now, we'll go back to talking about the gig and, like, your merch and everything in a little bit, but I just want to do this one little aside question about music marketing. Of being a young band and likely having grown up fully with social media, you just don't do the whole TikTok short form content promotion buzz. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, and lots of artists feel that they kind of have to do that because of the way music marketing and promotion and how artists earn their money has changed. Do you think there's a kind of community of younger artists in Dunedin who are pushing back against that, who are like, we don't want to engage with that, and why that might be?
I think that's really interesting, because it is genuinely because we have a music scene here.
Mm.
I think a lot of the TikTok bands, quote unquote, that you see come out are all just like in these like smaller communities where they don't have a space to produce and play and share their music. So they take to the internet because it's the only way to have a voice. We, I guess, are in quite a nice situation where we can actually just be real life and share with a community that kind of will take on or we
play.
Yeah, I also feel like there's like the kind of sort of ethics around like punk especially that we kind of stick to, that's like basically just not trying to sell out. Yeah.
I love the physical media, the postering, the CDs so much more. It feels so much more rewarding, I guess. And the internet doesn't really provide that same kind of ethical, fun, like, outlets and community.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that New Zealand has good kind of music infrastructure when it comes to that sort of thing? Like, you don't necessarily have to do the whole promoting to an international audience because that exists in New Zealand already?
I think it probably depends where you are, but like Dunedin has like an incredibly good scene. So I think it's been great for us.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think people see a lot of like band success coming from getting international audiences and stuff, and it's not necessarily that way, but I think there are enough opportunities, or at least like names that have come out of New Zealand before, that people like, especially the Dunedin sound, respect that name in itself as a kind of like internationally thought of place where good music can emerge from.
Yeah. And you were talking about physical media before and your love for it. What kind of physical media merch will y'all have at this show?
We made CDs. We also have t-shirts and long sleeves and patches. And you can come get them in real life at our show on Saturday.
Beautiful.
First and only time, probably, unless there's leftovers. And if so, hit us up on Instagram.
Yeah, how did you guys do your merch? Did you kind of do a bulk order, or were you more DIY with it?
A bit of everything. We got a lot of them from that As Colour outlet, and then kind of realised there was a shortage of black shirts across the entire country. And
that's terrible for musicians. That's horrible
news. I know, right?
We've done records, got them all.
Yeah, I genuinely think so. Someone's been bulking up. But we kind of went around collecting, got, like, kind of pretty good variety, I'd say. And that's fun.
Yeah, and then we just did, like, screen printing ourselves.
It's all been very DIY. I've had a lot of opportunities from, like, the Polytech recently, just kind of making the most of all the free resources we've got at our disposal. All the CDs, hand-designed, hand-burnt. Like, it's been a bit of a production line. It's been a bit of a process, but it's so, so much fun.
It is so much fun. I did, in our very own office, I did a CD production line once, and it's, you know, you've got the person, we got two people burning, mm-hmm. and then the person who would, like, organise all the things, the person who folded them. We mm-hmm. had, like, kiwi dip and chips, you know?
Yeah, that's where we're going after this. We're getting those finished. They will be there on Saturday.
It's a bonding experience, you know? Yeah, amazing. And getting the Polytech, you know, all the free resources there. There are so many musicians who come through here who go, you know, that is such an amazing a thing that they don't necessarily have in other cities or that, you know, uni students don't get access to that. You know, it's a very different kind of vibe. Now, before we give out the final details of the show, do you guys just want to tell me a little bit about what are you listening to? What are you loving at the moment?
Ooh. I've been listening to lots of Team Drish and, like, Mannequin Pussy. Pretty Sick as well.
I've fallen back into, like, Babes in Toyland and The Breeders a lot recently.
I've been enjoying a lot of Babe Haven recently and a lot of Dice Bits as well.
Sick.
Two of my tops. So
female-fronted metal.
Speaking of The Breeders, I just recently learned that The Breeders did a cover of the Buffy the Vampire theme tune.
Oh, really?
I know.
I didn't know that.
It's got, like, this huge, like, crashing outro. It's really sick.
Oh my God.
That's my fun fact. My fun Breeders fact for the day. Thanks so much for coming in. The show, it is Saturday. It's at Yours. It's $10, is it? Yeah.
Yep.
Are you doing pre-sale tickets or is it just on the door?
There is tickets on Under the Radar. Also, we're kind of running this as a slight fundraiser for our local community venues, Yours. So we are very open to koha on the door or even just encourage you to go get a delicious coffee. Pick up some bread. Don't go to Night and Day to get chips. There's, like, amazing food right there. And support the local venue because this is how we can keep this community up and running. So come along. Enjoy.
I'm sure they will. Thank you so much for joining me in the booth. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Ka kite.
See ya.
That was Seek Help in the booth with me chatting about their Misrepresentation EP release show, which is this Saturday. Get your tickets from Under the Radar for that one. Get out there, support the band, support the support acts, and support our local venues, especially our all-ages venues, who are the backbone of the Dunedin music scene these days. Of course, the next track that I'm going to play you is a Seek Help song, this one, Thus With a Kiss. Stick around, it is 10:38 a.m. I'll have one last chatty little segment before I end the show off at 11 a.m.
More of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.